Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Unlimited Realities with Lisa Zimmer. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer. And today we have scheduled author and psychologist Don Mortesini. And he has written a new book called Princes and Ogres. And it's a wonderful book talking about the integration of both the psyche and the soul. And he takes a wonderful approach in going back and forth between the psychological aspect of why we do things, why we react, why we respond in specific ways, as well as bringing in the spiritual aspect of how we can evolve through our things. I am waiting for Don to call in on the switchboard right now. So if anybody is listening and you have a direct link to Don, I have sent him some messages, but I'm not sure. There is a three-hour time difference, so I'm being an extremely optimistic soul right now, knowing that it's only 8:30 where he is, and it's kind of been one of those days where we kind of like are moving at a slower pace. Many, many people are feeling their humanness right now. So I'm having faith here that Don's going to give me a buzz any second, because I'm really looking forward to this show. I'm looking forward to giving you the wise man and psychologist and author and soulful person that Don is in really giving you an eye for the psychological and combination of the spiritual aspect. Let me read a few of the endorsements that Don has in his book, Princes and Ogres, The Integration of Psyche and Soul. And he has some wonderful endorsements here from people. And one of them starts with, in Princes and Ogres, Don Mortesini beautifully reminds us of the indistinguishable relationship between both our spiritual and psychological selves. Through story as vehicle, he exposes the psycho-spiritual thread that courses through the universal vein. That's Jeff Brown, the author of Soul Shaping, A Journey of Self-Creation. Another endorsement is, as a gifted storyteller, Don Mortesini weaves the ancient wisdom story with the client's story, as well as his personal story, into a fascinating and personal experience for the reader. Robert Fettgather, PhD clinical psychologist and author of Trisomy 21 and Hand of God, Love, War, and the American Family. So Don was basically stripped of everything he held dear. He held an executive position, money, status, and most importantly, his family. He has raised three adult daughters. And he's realized that life was over as he knew it, when everything kind of fell out from underneath him with the economy and the stock market. He was a stockbroker. He was vice president of Dean Witter and Company, and he learned the brutal truth of the old adage, there is no free lunch on Wall Street. Don earned his success the hard way, long hours and hard work, and he knew that the challenges of holding a demanding job while parenting and partnering during the good and the bad times, the rewards were his efforts were over, and the good life had just been cut short. So now he's discovering a whole new world of awakening and awareness in regard to life. He is an avid studier of Buddhism, has a guru that he studies with, and he's really a very gentle, loving soul. I'm hoping that he comes and he realizes he needs to give me a buzz. If anybody is out there listening and you know Don, please give Don Mortesini a buzz. Give him a call. Let him know he needs to call 213-286-6743. Or if anybody out there would like to give me a buzz and call 213-286-6743 so we can chat while I'm waiting for Don. I hope that you're all having a great week. I'm finishing up a very, very busy week myself and looking forward to taking some time off. I have a birthday coming up and I plan to celebrate. So I am finding that this week has been really chock full with a lot of anxiety for people. I don't know if there's an energetic shift that's moving through the ethers or what's happening right now, but there seems to be a tremendous amount of anxiety that's going on the planet, and people are really feeling it and moving through it. So if we can just take a moment and look at our fears and our anxieties and maybe take a deep breath and create a peaceful environment within our temple, our body, with some deep breaths and some release, and clear our head with any fear thoughts, we can move into this new day and new vibration with a clearer understanding of what we should be focusing upon. Again, my guest today was scheduled with Don Mortesini, author of Princes and Ogres. And I was really looking forward to this show. I really, really was, because I'm all about integrating the psyche and the soul. So I'm really hoping Don comes on. Don, I'm waiting for you to give me a buzz. 213-286-6743. If anybody out there knows Don, please give Don a call. Let him know he needs to give me a buzz. 213-286-6743. If anybody would like to give me a buzz and talk about what's going on in your life and maybe add some inspirational or some chaotic challenges of what you're going through, we can talk about it while we're waiting for Don to call. So as we're moving through the day, we're moving through the week, I'd like to add some ideas of self-appreciation, some self-worth. We just came out of a very hallmark holiday of Valentine's Day, and some people love it, some people hate it. It's kind of a controversial day of celebration, and not really a holiday, but actually a day where we kind of reflect and acknowledge our love quota or how much love we're feeling. It seems like that vibration is kind of continuing on through the week. And I've been feeling it, and I've been seeing the pros and the cons in regard to both of those aspects. And we do have a tremendous amount of anxiety within personal relationships going on and changes and realizations. What I believe a lot of things that are brought out on Valentine's Day is a lot of the people who are alone and single really struggle with this day. Usually they don't like it, especially if they're single. Personally, I make sure that I do whatever it is that I want to do for that day. So if I was single, I would definitely eat my favorite foods, listen to my favorite music, and do my favorite things. If it's a day of love that I can take off from work, then that would be something that I would most likely be by the water or walking or doing some self-gratifying reflective moments and times for myself. So, you know, there's a point of self-love we really need to come to terms with, because if we aren't really honoring ourselves, then we're going to constantly be scrutinizing the love that's being given to us and not really open to receiving it. So there's a whole lot of dynamics that go into that self-love and receiving love. And so I don't want to just, you know, box it in on one day of February 14th. I'd like to kind of spread the love and the energy for all of you, whether you're with somebody, a significant other, or not. You are a loving, wonderful, magnificent being capable of so much compassion and empathy, giving and feeling and receiving. And so those are the energies that I really want to put out there right now for everybody to receive and to tune and tap into. It does not look like Don's going to give me a buzz here. And I'm really disappointed, really, really disappointed about this. I think what I will do, since we're now 10 minutes into the show, is I'm going to pick a show here that's on my roster that was really wonderful and really fun. Let's see, who shall we pick? All right, we're going to pick this one, because I think this one is going to make you laugh, and right now we need a little bit of humor. We're going to go with Vinnie Brownerini, and we're discussing the evolving male process, as told by Jeff Brown, author of Soul Shaping. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk again next week, which is an awesome show I cannot wait to bring to you. It is with my guest, Dr. Ellen Kenner. She has written with Dr. Edwin Locke a wonderful relationship book, probably one of the best relationship books I ever read. It's called The Selfish Path of Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason. And it's inspired by the ideas of Ayn Rand. And I love this book. It's as good as going to a great therapist who really helps excavate some of those deep-seated issues and insecurities and resolving how to make relationships work in the best possible flow. So I really look forward to next week's show as well. Was really looking forward to this week's show. The Selfish Path of Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason. That's next week on February 23rd, Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. God bless you all. Have a grand week. I will be celebrating my birthday from here till next Thursday, and I'm going to give you Vinnie Brownerini now. God bless.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Unlimited Realities with Lisa Zimmer. I'm Lisa, and I'm here to introduce Jeff Brown, author of Soul Shaping, who today we're going to have a bit of a humorous show, hopefully enlightening, hopefully humorous. We're introducing Vinnie Brownerini, let me get it right, and he's the evolving male who's coming from a place of really wanting to open up his heart, really wanting to show who he is and his essence, struggling with all of life and what life has to throw at him and in his thoughts and how he proceeds. So first, let me introduce author of Soul Shaping, Jeff Brown. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Pleasure. Lisa, always a pleasure to connect with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on as well. You're such a light. And now we're going to introduce a real fun guy, no mushroom, but fun. And his name's Vinnie Brownerini. And we're going to first get into the apologies of the divine feminine, because really Vinnie kind of resonated with this and really felt moved and compelled to come out of hiding after this was published and went online. So I'm going to begin with reading a little bit of the Apologies of the Divine Feminine, and then we'll get into some questions and dialogue. How's that sound, Jeff?
That sounds good. Vinnie is not really happy with the way you introduced him, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get into Vinnie after after a few parts of this apology. How
making
about that?
Making noises. Yeah, okay.
You know, well, I hear him back there. You know, I hear him. I figure he's clearing his voice and getting ready there. So I figured I'd give him a few
moments.
Well,
he's spinning something up. I don't know what he's doing. Yeah, we'll find out.
Rough night,
sure.
Eh?
Yeah, he did. He fell into old habits, didn't you? Yeah, he did.
Well, you know, old habits are meant to be broken. So, they're, you know, it's good to come up, rising to the top.
If only
so
he'd look at them.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, let's start with the apology.
Okay, here we go with the apologies to the divine feminine. And this is from a warrior and in transition.
Yes.
I apologize for my inability to distinguish the benevolent warrior from the heartless warrior, a reflection of my own confusion dealing with the battlefields of yore. When I opened my heart too wide, I was vulnerable to attack from warring factions, and I was conditioned to believe that I had to stay rigid, focused, prepared for any eventuality. In the desire to protect myself and others from the attack, but I went too far and closed too tight and eradicated the bridge between our hearts. I am seeing this now, and I am sorry. I apologize for my perpetual absence, a reflection of my own inner absence, my inability to connect from a heart jammed tight by unresolved emotions that I did not have the tools to work through. I still lack many of these tools, but I'm open to their emergence. All right, I'm going to stop there, Jeff. So,
okay.
Just in dealing with that little piece of the apology,
yeah.
Was that coming from a place of a past knowing? Was that coming from a place of understanding for the first time what a benevolent warrior
and a heartless warrior were?
Well, I don't know. I think that I think a lot of the apology was lodged in my experience in this lifetime, you know. I mean, I had a lot of glimpses and developed kind of a witnessing capacity to recognize my own warrior nature. You know, it appeared really early in my life, in my childhood, fighting forever with that my family, and kind of choosing that path rather than avoiding it or sidestepping it. And then as my journey unfolded, you know, it became clear that I had sort of archetypal history, it seemed, some kind of past life carryover, something threaded through me that was... had experience, particularly of malevolent warrior, and it just became clear that my movement in this lifetime was not to shed warrior, although that was where what I thought was going to happen, but really more to kind of meld my warrior into something more heartfelt, in the direction of more benevolent warrior. So I don't know, I think this whole apology came from some combination of archetypal experience and some kind of sacred transmission, and definitely my personal experience, that's for sure, yeah.
Okay, so can I ask Vinny some questions here? Is he ready to be introduced and come to the forefront here?
Hi, Lisa.
Vin, how you doing?
I had a rough night.
Did ya?
I fell back into what Jeff calls an old pattern.
Well, you know, Vinny, don't beat yourself up, because these things happen, and they come up for reasons that we need to explore and really just kind of like merge through it. So don't beat yourself up over it, Vinny.
No, I went too far. It's okay, though.
Well, Vinny, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the heartless warrior or the benevolent warrior, a little bit of a combo of the two?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a very fine line. You know, I mean, I think it's very difficult to have a man go out into the world and deal with the marketplace and the warring nature of humanity and always stay connected to his heart and with his actions. It's how do you do that? How do you put on your armor and get yourself into a state like a snorting bull, ready to take on the world to protect yourself and others? And then always remember not to go too far. I think this is a very unrealistic expectation.
And I think that, you know, you're right, because in so many ways, you know, we are, as a society, trying to tweak man. And, you know, instead of tweaking man, I think that there's a real need to really accept and embrace the man. And yet, at the same point, there's that little piece of man that's also, you know, wanting to evolve. And as you have experienced yourself, Vinny, an evolving soul and evolving heart. So, you know, as you're going through this evolution, do you feel that, you know, that you can go in? I mean, I know that it's hard. It's hard to, like, stay centered in that heart. It's hard to, like, come from there constantly. But do you feel like you're able to go there when need be, that, you know, when something really triggers you emotionally, you're able to tap into that a little easier? And what does that feel like? Is it uncomfortable for you? Is it something that you're getting used to? Is it something that is foreign and you're having to kind of learn as you go?
Well, you know, I don't like to diss the man, you know, because I think what's happened in the feminist movement is that we went very far. In Jeff's latest apology, he spoke to that, the pushing, you know, the man down, not honoring that which was good about him. And so for me, as I mean, I'm in psychotherapy now, so
good
I'm
for you.
I'm dealing with some of my emotional things, but at the same time, I'm still allowing myself to be in like the healthier parts of my masculinity in the way that I move through the world, because I think that it's important to honor the man while, you know, at the same time working to change some of our patterning.
Amen. That's beautifully stated and quite an evolved statement, Vinny. It's you've come a long way with the psychotherapist. I'm quite impressed.
Well, I help her too, you know. I help her too, because because she's stuck in that too, you know, and I call her on that, and she thanks me for that too. Because, you know, I remember how my papa used to be, and even though he was edgy and had to handle the boys and had to handle this business, which was not always clean, I admit that to be true, but at the same time, he took care of us in a very loving way. He made us French fries on Sunday mornings. He did things to show his love for us, so it's more complicated than people think.
Well, and it's also, you know, there's that piece of I really agree with the feminist movement pushing it a little too far, because it left men kind of really confused about where their role was and how they really defined themselves. So I think it actually pushed men further down into hiding their heart and hiding themselves. And then you have, you know, the feminine movement, which supported strong women, and dear God, I mean, in a world of strong women and men, you know, fearful of expressing their heart, where do we go with that? Right?
No.
Jeff,
no.
Help me.
Nowhere to... Oh. Hold on. No, I think
where
that's
do we go with...
Yeah.
Where do we go with a man who's really trying to come out like Vinny, and yet at the same point not really being supported by society or his peer group or his friends? Because, you know, Vinny's from a traditional role of personalities that are very dominant in their masculinity, and he really wants to, you know, come out a little bit with his heart. So there's not a lot of support for Vinny, you know, in his environment.
Yeah.
How does
yeah.
he seek support? How does he get support? Where can he go besides his psychotherapist?
Well, Vinny and I talk a lot, you know. I mean, you know, too much, actually, but it's not that easy. He found his way into psychotherapy, which I think is very important for him to get support for the process. He also gets a lot of body work. You know, he gets a lot of deep tissue work, because at some point he recognized that there was some connection between the armoring in his physical body and the armor around his emotional body. And I think that's a very important part of the process. So he gets touched, and he gets relaxed, and he gets open. So he has an experience of something softer or more surrendered or more receptive, you know, than his edge. You know, some of the things that helped me, you know, I did a lot of bioenergetics. So I did a lot of anger work. You know, it's not about, like, getting rid of all of those intense emotions. It's about learning how to move from a more benevolent source spring. So, for example, instead of acting out in the direction of somebody in your immediate environment, you get a cube in your house and you have a bat and you move anger like bioenergetics people do by hitting the foam cube, for example. You know, you start to shift it in realistic and subtle directions in a way that's less harmful and actually allows you to have the kind of release that doesn't lead to more guilt and shame after the fact, you know? You know, and he's doing that. He's still a snorting bull, but not as often as he used to be. Yeah.
No, and he's quite gentle, having had a rough night and all. I mean, he's coming across really with a very soft and open heart, and it's really appreciated for the show and in interviewing him. It's great. Hey, Vinny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Lisa. I'm always here.
Vinny,
always here.
Do you feel that you're developing tools, whether it's through the psychotherapist or actually your perceptional changes as you're viewing life and things, your feelings, other people, connections to others? Do you feel like you're developing more tools to really bring out that authentic heart and that truth that, you know, kind of has stayed buried for eons and is encouraged to stay buried with environment as well?
Well, first, Lisa, let me say, you know, like, I like you, you know that. But, you know, in a way you're sort of talking a little implying, like, you know, I'm a dinosaur who has to change all these things. So I get a little defensive, and I am now able to spot that and admit that to you here, you know.
Okay.
I do feel as though I am growing. You know, I am growing in the directions of being more communicative with some measure of subtlety, you know, Whereas before, if somebody asked me these questions, I would have just said, fuck you, and got off the phone, right? So now I am here. I stay in the process with you, right? You know, I use words like process, you know. I mean, they annoy me. A lot of times the words Jeff uses annoy me. But at the same time, there is a part of me that, like, recognizes that they have some merit, a little bit of merit, you know. So, for example, my kid pissed me off the other day. And so whereas before I would have just flung the breakfast at him. I mean, I was so annoyed with what he did. But instead, I go for a walk. I play some tennis. I move my anger. So when I talk to him, have an interface later in the day, I'm more available to it. You know, like that. Like that. It's small steps. It has to be small steps.
It is small steps. And that's really how it really starts to implement and stay stuck within our being, you know. All right. So I know that this is probably going to be one of those questions that pisses you off. And you may get a little defensive on it, but I'm going to go with it anyway because, hey, you know, then, you know, we understand each other. We're coming from the same place here.
I respect your courage.
Hey, okay, well, you know, there's a phone between us. You're not going to throw any scrambled eggs and peppers and onions at me here. All right, so in regard to you, Vin, as a virile, you know, man who really likes women.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're getting into the real heart of who you passionately are. And as you are, like, you know, moving through your dances with females, do you feel yourself going to a point of changing how you approach women or how you are interacting with women, I should say? Because, you know, before, you know, when we spoke eons ago and you were just taking your baby steps here with evolution, there was a whole lot of carefreeness. And I've seen as Vinny has evolved over these months here that you've really got more of a compassionate side to the female gender and more of an honoring of the female. So have you really, like, looked at how you interact as differently and now from your past and how they react to you?
Well, last night, I go out with a dame. We go out for dinner. You know, I like to go out for dinner with dames. So we go to a restaurant for fish, and I'm you know, she asked me, what am I looking for in relationship? You know, so what's changed is I'm more direct. I say, I'm just looking for some intimacy, but I'm not looking for an attachment right now, you know. And I think she appreciated that, you know, like that. That was, I was, you know, whereas, of course, in the old days, I would have said anything to get into her panties, you know. But then I fell back into an old pattern, which is that I started to drink, and I wanted to out-drink her and show her I could handle my alcohol. And we were only drinking Baileys, I'm almost embarrassed to admit. But, so, it's like, I go back and forth between the old way and the new way, and I haven't quite found the bridge between them.
But are you getting, you know, obviously you've evolved quite a bit for you to be so direct and honest. And I find that, you know, that's really refreshing, because the majority of, you know, poor relationship aspects comes from a lack of communication and basically just spouting what you think the other person wants to hear, not really coming from the truth or the heart. So, you know, a little Baileys. I mean, Vinny, give yourself a break here. You know, it kind of brought out the little, you know, soft heart there. It was a good thing.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, go ahead. Please.
Go ahead.
No, I remember, I thought I should say this before because I'm forgetting things lately, that I remember when I started to practice, Jeff calls it, you know, practice, being more direct, honest. I remember that it was almost like physically impossible for me to speak from that place. I remember feeling as though the way that I had maneuver through the marketplace in this competitive economic world too was with trickery and deception. It was like how I survived. So then to speak from a more genuine place, I didn't know, you know, I didn't understand, had nothing, I didn't survive that way. So it felt almost like physically impossible to do it. It's something that needs to be practiced for people who've been in the survivalist, what Jeff calls survivalist vibration, you know.
Mm-hmm. But at the same point, look at how far you've come. And and at that point, you also have to look at, you know, okay, you were in the survivalist mentality. You were taking care of what needed to be taken care of. And as you opened up your heart, your priorities shifted. So truth was even that much more important to you. And it was it's so much simpler to get really some clarity when there's such open communication and truth between, you know, relationships, intimate relationships especially, because, you know, there's all those assumptions and mind games that come out and get played. And you know, women come from one place notoriously, and men notoriously come from 180 degrees different. And it's very difficult to meet in the middle. It's very, unless there's that open trust of communication where you can just say what you need to say and know that it's not going to be ridiculed or judged or condemned. And it took you a while to get out of that survivalism to get to that part, but that's really a blessing when you did. I mean, did you feel a relief? Did you feel like a weight was lifted off your shoulders in regard to being able to be so free with who you are?
No, I find it mostly I find this annoying work that I'm doing. It's mostly I feel as though I have somewhere an inkling that it's one day going to feel good, but I don't experience the joy of it. I enjoy the game, and a lot of dames that I know, you know, it depends what circles you travel in. So a lot of dames I know are part of they manipulate more than anybody. So we're all in this gig together, and you know, what gets lost in the translation with all the judging is that sometimes the game is fun. And we know it's a game, but we enjoy
right.
the game. And so sometimes I just want to enjoy the game. And, you know, how far can one person shift in one generation? I mean, it's at some point it becomes you're stretching your canvas so far that it's not a you're too confused in your own bones as to who you are. So you go a little bit out, but not too far before you got to come back to what you know too.
Right. You have to be true to who you are. And that's, you know, but,
sure.
but even in being true to who you are, there's still your ability that you did stretch it quite a bit. I mean, okay, it's one generation that you expanded upon, but just think of that influence that you're going to have for your kids. You know, your kids are going to look at you as, you know, hey, you know, dad's not flinging the sausage as much, you know?
Yeah.
He's not throwing dinner on the floor.
I know,
but at the same, go ahead.
But what, at least, you know, I'm feeling a little revolt here, because what about the dames? I mean, you know, you're talking.
Oh yeah, well,
like,
let's get into the dames.
It's always about the men and the men this and the men that. Well, we're in this together. We created this.
All right. Well,
together.
Let's talk about the dames.
Have you not been manipulative in your life? Of course, you know what changes have you made?
Oh, I think.
You know?
Okay, then let's get into the dames. I have some great insight in regard to women because, you know, you guys
right.
have gotten a bad rap. I mean, I am a big supporter of men being men. I really am. I don't want a mate for me to be like me or a woman. I want him to be a man. So I really think you have, as men, as a gender, been really crushed. And women are masters of manipulation. There are no women, there's nothing a man could do that could outsmart a woman's manipulation. And I know this because I've worked with women almost 25, 30 years now, and they all have different patterns and paths, whether it's a seductive manipulation, or whether it's a woe is me, I'm such a victim manipulation, or it's, you know, twisting words and comments to get their way or their needs met or validated on some way. So, you know, there's a whole lot of crap that women do notoriously that, you know, that this whole passive aggression, this whole passive aggressive approach to things is manipulation. And that's handed down generations upon generations of repressed women and mothers and the matriarch figures. So you've got, you know, I hear you, Vinnie, and my heart does go out to you because it can't be easy, especially in the environment you mix with, to really just tap in, drop in, and be real, because it is a game, and it's been a game that's played for longer than the truth has come out. So, you know, we're kind of used to playing a game if we're not evolved, and that's an awakening.
Can you get me?
So, you know, I'm sure, Vinnie, you've met many women who have, you know, pulled at you or, you know, flaunted or enticed or, you know, played their little manipulative games. And it can be a little, it can be, you know, something that you can play with, but all of a sudden when they turn it around and look at it as serious, the game's no longer a game. Have you ever experienced something like that, Vin?
Hold on, I'm just trying to get a cannoli. Get me the big one. I tell you a story quickly. That maybe is what you mean. I was with this woman once, and she was amazingly hot. I mean, she was hot in all the ways that I like hot. And she knew what to say and what to do. And I mean, you really believe she was like really like loved you so much, you know. And I remember that I dropped down and opened my heart with her, and I was revealing some of the things I was guilty about, some of the organized crime things, different things that I don't talk about with anyone other than my psychotherapist. And then all of a sudden she disappears. About 3 months later, I'm at a bar with some guys, and some guys there, and he starts telling a story about a woman. And for a while I don't get it. He's saying the exact same lines. That every line, and I say, was it who, and I don't want to mention her name here on the radio, but exact same woman, using the exact same lines. I mean, you know, she was a public figure, so we don't need to get into that. But the point is, she had all like a book of lines that she was using on different men to hook them in to get sex and money. So. Absolutely. And so I come back to this. Of course, men in the warrior way went too far with various violent, horrible things. Of course, first of all, that has to be addressed, you know. But once we get to the next step in the way we relate on a normal day-to-day level, we're all full of shit, as far as I'm concerned. And we really all need to talk from that place and talk about what happened, how this got created. You know, if we're going to change it, we need to be honest, and we need to express our anger and then get past that and start understanding what happened to this humanity, you know.
Right, right. And stop bashing the genders. And, you know, the one thing I see being a woman is it's been a really common thread among women. When they're in their little women's groups, that, you know, male bashing, it has become almost like a unspoken bonding session. And even little comments like, oh, he'll never get it, he's a man, or, you know, well, what do you expect, he's a man? You know, it encourages that separation. And even if it's something that you say in fun, or it's something that you say, you know, to kind of commiserate with your fellow sisters, it's something that is in the back of your head somewhere that's planted that really comes out as a self-defeating prophecy in regard to relationships, because somewhere you're going to act on that belief or that thought. And I really believe that we have to dig deep here. We have to get real. We have to get true. Sure, the men have gotten, you know, slammed for eons in regard to their lack of emotional capacity. But I don't see that anymore. I see men as opening up. I see men as evolving. And I don't see it as a right or wrong situation. But I do see women wanting to hold that seat of hierarchy of in regard to knowing the soul or the emotion or love and not really being true enough with themselves to be honest, to reveal themselves so that it can help open a male up. Do you agree with that, or do you have something that you would like to interject on that comment?
Well, one thing I've experienced is that the three times that I opened my heart the most, it was the women that ran away. You know, this idea that it's always the men who can't handle deep intimacy is a big lie. That's not been my experience at
right.
all. My experience has been quite honest that quite often it's the women who can't handle it. And my friends have the same experience too. So I think we need to start telling the truth. You know, it's one thing to talk about you want this in a man, you want that in a man. Well, what if you get it? Are you really ready
right.
to handle it or not? You know, because I don't think a lot of dames are ready for that. I don't think any of us on this planet, coming from this crazy, scary world at this point, are ready to handle the deeply uncovered vulnerability way of life. I think that we're in the struggle, you know, to open the heart together, and we need to understand and appreciate that it's a challenge we all share.
And yet also, could it be that you possibly opened your heart up to someone who, you know, maybe you thought or was projecting that they were on the same page with you, when in reality they were nowhere clear within themselves to really embrace their own essence or know what they wanted, so therefore
yeah.
they ran.
Right. Well, you know, this is, I've been trying to put together an understanding of things like this, but this is all, maybe you understand this as a woman. It seemed as though all of these women had, in some ways, very distant fathers. So when I was a little distant, they were kind of engaged with me. You know, as though my I don't know how to find the word, as though my distance from them was in a way making me more credible and more credible. Like it was as though they were like, their self-concept was terrible. So if I was unavailable, I was sort of, you know, I was reflecting, in Jeff's words, back how they felt about themselves. But then when I was looking them in the eye and told them I loved them, I wasn't credible anymore because now I saw them in a positive way that they didn't even believe in themselves. So
So
it was like, I want the man to be, you know, more open, more. But then he's open and then there's not interested. So what is that about? Women have to really look at that.
Well, what that is about is that, you know, Women are emotionally based, and because they're emotionally based, on some innate level, they feel superior to understanding emotions, when in reality, most of the time, they feel, but they have not interpreted the emotions. So they really are still kind of at baby step number two. And so when they're faced with kind of dealing with the real guts and glory of the emotion, they run because it's, holy shit, I don't know what I'm feeling, and this is foreign, and I've never experienced this before, and, you know, daddy never hugged me, and dear God, this is too much intimacy. I got a bolt. So, yeah, there is a lot of that, and I don't think there's a lot of truth to that coming out because, you know, men notoriously will do it, and we call them out on it. But when women do it, it's, well, you know, there's a million and one reasons or avenues that they can go to validate why they did it, when in reality it's fear. And, you know, it all comes down to basic, simple truths, doesn't it, Vin?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I really feel, you know, that, and I've been meditating and trying to get clearer, and I feel as though we have to understand. What Jeff wrote really and more in the second apology than the first, is right, that we're coming from this what he calls survivalist or animalistic world, and all of these behaviors somehow are reflecting that, you know. As we move in the direction of a safer world where we can come from our hearts more, you know, then we can develop new language, a new way of sharing with one another. And, you know, right now, this time, and as things are waking up in a way, but we're still really at the very beginning of crossing that bridge. So that's what it is. And I think we need to stop blaming each other and understand the context that we've all been in here.
Then you're just blowing me away with your evolution. I'm so impressed from our last chat. But I have to agree totally with what you're saying, and I did. I really appreciated Jeff's second apology even more than I appreciated his first one, because it did begin to address the female issue. Personally, I think he went way too easy on the females, but I think that it's a beginning to open up the female side of our role in relationships, because it's not all about what the man needs to do. It's what both genders need to do within that relationship. And they have to honor and respect and trust one another to really get to the core of that. Because if there isn't that trust, how can they really open up the depth of who they are? And if there isn't that respect, they're never going to get to the trust part. So, you know, and there we go back to ourselves, because if they don't respect themselves, if they don't trust their own heart and feelings, if they don't trust their own truth, they're never going to trust another person. So, again, we have to come from excavating all our crap, all our goo, all our stuff, individually, gender issue, whether it's female or male, and then coming into the union. And, you know, I'd say that, you know, Vinny, your psychotherapist is quite astute in supporting who you are as a man and also bringing out, you know, the lighter, more jovial connected side to the intimacy part of relationships within you, because you've really come such a huge way in such a short period of time.
Right, but let's not give the psychotherapist too much credit here. I mean, this is, again, let's give the man a little credit over here.
The man's getting
she's
all
good,
the credit.
She's good, but I teach her, you know, she's $250 an hour, so she's already getting enough credit already. So I'm working at it, and I'm doing my, you know, and I do feel I'm shifting as best I can, you know.
Well, you are. You're shifting incredibly well. And I think, you know, that says a lot in regard to just basically coming from honesty, is that you're not blowing hot air under her skirt in regard to telling her what she wants to do. You're being honest.
I'm trying. I'm trying to, you know. I mean, you know, I didn't like the apologies that he wrote so much because they're wussy. You know, I think there's a way to convey that you're in a way that's more proud, you know. And I think that's the way you do hold everything together. You know, he grew up with a mother who's always making him feel like he has something to apologize for, so he keeps apologizing already. But for me, it's more about just stating facts, you know. I did this because of this. I should have done better, but you should have too. Then we're together in it, yeah, you know.
Right, and that's, you know, and that's the other piece is, you know, I don't mean to be taking the, you know, kind of I am, and so therefore I am. But, you know, I am putting a lot of responsibility on the females here, because I think that the women, it comes from the women. We are innately gifted to bring forth life. And life is the birthing of a love. That's something that it's all encompassing. And so, because of that gift, I do believe that it's a responsibility to really honor that love. And to honor that love, it has to start with us. You know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, you have to have the chicken to house the egg. So you need the chicken. You need the female to come forth and really, you know, almost not teach the man, but to at least be open to allow the man to evolve. Because I think that there's a lot of this is the way it is and in a lot of mentality, and then the men thinking, oh, dear God, they know more than I do. I'm just going to shut up. And so they shut down into their own sense of where they feel familiar and comfortable.
Absolutely. Everybody's part of it. But I also, you know, and I've been very hard on women in my time, very hard. But, you know, very hard. But at the same time, I now understand that, again, you know, the compassion comes from recognizing that we're in this together. And so that women were confronted with a reality, too. And the reality was, in that harsh world, if they always opened their heart, they were felt under attack or unsafe, you know. So, mm-hmm. So they're nasty with their kid at dinner and their breakfast and they're talking mean and be all that. But that's because they probably didn't feel like they could express their upset directly because they were afraid of their warrior man, you know. So this is how it works as a relationship, a sociological thing with where everyone's in this thing together, you know. So, of course, everyone has to take responsibility, but I think we also have to learn how to shift like the way the world was that made everything unsafe and crazy for everybody. So we're so extreme in our roles,
right,
instead of more balanced in our roles, you know.
And how did we become so stuck in the muck of repression? Because a lot of this is, you know, repressed, and it's repressed on the female aspect of really being real, and it's repressed on the male aspect of really afraid to open up. And, I mean, generations and generations of repression have really made it a familiar state of comfort for so many that, you know, why can't we, like, look at that and put it in its proper place with realizing, you know, that's not the way to go anymore. You know, just like feminism opened up, you know, the power for women, why can't open hearts open up that power of really being true and honest with our communication,
yeah,
and our hearts and
because,
our feelings, you know?
Because the world's not safe enough yet. That's the whole thing. It's going back to the sociology. We were when I grew up feeling emotions like a little boy does, my grandfather used to say, don't look back, look forward. Don't look back, look forward. You know, the philosophy was one based completely in survival. You alter, or as Jeff says, you adapt your consciousness to managing reality. It didn't, in an animalistic world where competition and ego were everything, we're moving from animals to humans.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So those kind of emotions didn't have a place when you needed all your focus on just getting enough food on the table for your family. Weeping and crying were not used. So these repression was a necessary evil. If we're going to shift out of repression, then we have to, and I don't think we are there yet, despite the fact people say we're getting there so fast, where the world is so safe for everyone and where our economic structures are not dependent on adapting and putting on masks for our personality, but where we're making our money being authentically who we are and not being so frightened of being who we are, so that when we interact with each other, we're able to move our emotions more fluidly, right?
Right.
We got to
right.
change the world. Like when laws get put in place, people think there's no connection between gender stuff and law. Well, laws make the world safer, and people have more rights, and then they feel safe enough to speak their heart because it's not going to get them into trouble.
That's true. And it also, you know, when you come from a place of what have you got to lose with being honest and truthful, it's much easier to come from that place. So if you can look at it as, I have nothing to lose, and if you can step out of that old fear of abandonment and rejection and really look at it as, okay, well, if that comes up, that's what needs to come up, and I can look at it and put it in its proper place. I think when you feel like you have nothing to lose, you can really be more genuine. Because when you feel like you're being held to a specific standard, whether it's in, you know, a societal standard or a gender standard, that's where you really get boxed in. And I don't like boxes. So it's really freeing, I think, for relationships in general when they can just get to a place where they're looking at each other and knowing that they can say what's on their mind and heart and be true and honest and open. And that allows the other person to kind of let that crack open a little bit more, too. And, you know, and I agree. I mean, the society is kind of, we're steeped in fear. There's fears all around the globe. And even though we're accelerating, it's still not enough to open up the hearts wide. However, there is that pull for so many to open up that love energy, and that's what's also throwing people off because they don't know what that jolt is. They don't know what that push and that stretch is, and so it's an uncomfortable feeling.
Yes, that feels, yes.
Now, let's talk a little bit, Vinny, about, you know, you were raised with a certain standard of code of ethics, shall we say. And how do you balance that now? how do you come to terms with that? How do you balance that and still honor the family business and, you know, the family in general or your hood, your peer group, your friends, evolve?
Yeah. Well, as I've said, I really don't feel that there was such a big chasm, if I may use that big word, between the way that I operated or my father operated and the way I'm growing now. I definitely feel like I'm more careful with my words and not as likely, for example, to order hits on others. But at the same time, I do feel as though I was always taking care of my peeps and compassionate. I took care of many people in difficult situations with medical problems and things. So, you know, I think that what is lost in the overreaction to, say the more extreme feminist movement was that a great many men, in their own quiet way, maybe not in a way that women wanted them to communicate, but in their own quiet way, were living their lives totally inhabiting that role of loving and protecting their family and their village. And millions of men have perished at war protecting other. And, you know, so many have, you know, woken up in the morning, put on their suit and tie, put on their sales mask, gone out in the world to try to make money, to pay for the mortgage, and without complaining about it, without even thinking about it, accepting it as what life is. And I think we need to give a little bit more credit where credit is due, you know, because I've done that even before I started in psychotherapy, and I was sure I was a bad guy in some ways, but not in every way, you know.
No, not at all. And even in telling that story, you know, it showed that you still had your compassionate heart pretty well aware within you to take care of others. And regardless of how you did that, you still were doing for those you loved. And see, that's the part that needs to be honored, because in everyone exists a desire to love and to be loved. And so that's really where it all comes down to, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, how would you see a conscious relationship for you, Vinny? Or is that not even something that's on the horizon for you at this point? You're just kind of going through the motions and learning as you go.
Well, you know, people write about this thing. It's a new way to sell books, conscious relationship. what we're talking about. My view of conscious relationship is just a good talking, good food, and lots of fun. But that includes, when I say good talking, I mean good communication. So you don't build up a whole stockpile of anger. You know, to me, that's conscious relationship. Listen, life is not easy. There's no perfect conscious formula here, because life is always going to throw you for a loop. That's how it works, you know. So to me, conscious relationship just means treating each other with respect, you know, and learning how to enjoy life together. That's very simple for me. Yeah.
And that's,
I don't
and
need
that
to sit on a meditation cushion. Yeah, I don't need to sit in a meditation cushion, detaching from reality, you know, so that I can come from my most perfect moment. I need, for me, conscious relationship means we're in the full mishpucha of reality together, as my Jewish friends say.
You know, that's what I like about you, Vinny, is that you take every day and in its entirety and look at it from a perspective that's a little bit broader than the actual event itself. And as you know, as you're obviously evolving, you do it more and more all the time. So, you know, kudos, Vin.
Yeah, I have a witness observer. I have a witness observer on my shoulder all the time when I'm acting, even when I'm acting stupid.
See? Look, and were you aware of this always, or was this something that kind of evolved in an awareness for you? Were you always aware of the witness?
No, it happened more in my teen years a little, and I have a name for my witness, and I talk to this part of me, and just to check in about whether I'm handling things properly.
And is there compassion from your witness, or is your witness like slap you upside the head with a 2x4 occasionally?
Both. It's as though my witness is comparing my behavior to some level of possibility. I call my witness Lucky Charm. And so my Lucky Charm is there to invite me, I guess, in the direction of the best possible me.
And I think that you've also, you know, in regard to having, you know, Jeff as your buddy, as your friend, as your pal, you know,
I'm sure he also,
you know, gives you a good perspective every once in a while as well.
Well, I give him one, too. I give him one, too, because he gets so soft and gooey that there's nobody home anymore. You know, and I try to ground him. I'm like a grounding rod for him because he, you know, if he had his way, he'd just be in the basement floating and writing on the walls and like an artist. And sometimes he forgets the bottom line too, you know. And then when he forgets the bottom line, things fall apart and he can't create. So, you know, I serve a very constructive purpose for him too. It's again, I'm challenging you on this idea that it's as though I as the, you know, what you call like the dinosaur man, I don't have something to offer. Well, I do. In a way, I'm like a voice of reality for people like him.
Yeah, you are a voice of reality, and you're more of, you know, the average or typical male persona in regard to who is out there and what women are dealing with in regard to, you know, where a woman is in regard to a man with a man like you. Because 9 times out of 10, you know, a woman will come into a relationship with someone, you know, with your type of a personality, Vinny, and have these old, you know, fantasy trips going on in her head of how relationships can be, and you know, it's termed that whole Cinderella syndrome. And I'm sure you squash that pretty well. You know, I'm sure you bring her to reality pretty easily with that.
I'm a realist, you know, and I'm proud of that.
Right.
You know.
And you're also, you know, to give yourself a lot more credit in regard to, you know, you're not a dinosaur. I don't see you, Vinny, as a dinosaur. I see you as a man who's brave enough to really open up in a world that hasn't really embraced a man of your caliber to open up as easily and freely as you do. So, you know,
thank you.
You've really come such such great strides, and I'm not going to give your psychotherapist the credit. I'm going to give you credit because it's all about you. It's all about all of us. It's an individual choice. And, you know, to make that choice of connection or disconnect, that's free will.
That's,
so
yes, that's right. I exercise my free will often. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, we have about 5-6 minutes here left. Would Vinny like to talk to me, or would Jeff like to talk to me about what the overall?
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just Jeff's downstairs.
On.
Yeah, Jeff's downstairs.
Okay. All right, Vin, then you're with me. So, where do you see yourself going from in this evolution? Do you feel like you're going to get to a point where you say,
yeah,
that that's it?
Oh, no, hold on. She doesn't want to talk to you. Hold on. I had to tell him. I don't think it stops, you know. I don't think it stops. I think once you open the door, you cross over a little bit and start to do the soul shaping, that it becomes very difficult to hold back. Lucky Charm is on my shoulder. It keeps nudging me, pestering me, annoying me, you know, everything I do, you know. Is this really, you know, consistent with who you are? Is this, you know, is this the way you should eat? Is this the way you, you know, it just goes on. I want to kill Lucky Charm sometimes. But, you know, at the same time, I feel as though there's an evolution happening, both within myself and within people around me. I think the important thing is not to get too pie in the sky about it, but just to do the real work, you know. I stopped seeing my psychotherapist. I got sick of paying her $250 an hour just to sit there. But after a while, I realized I needed that because I needed to relate my things that were happening to another human being. And so I think you just got to stay in the real work of it. And, you know, that kind of hyperactive, you know, pumped up the secret kind of thing. Forget that stuff. You got to go inside and do the real work so that changes, you can sustain the changes that happen for you. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no instantaneous magic wand that's going to come in and make us different unless we're doing it, unless we're going into it.
No way. Generations and generations of patterns don't change in 5 minutes, blink of an eye. It's stupidity to even think it's possible.
Now, there's also that piece of opening up to a perspective that can change who we are. So there are those little glimpses of light where we have those aha moments in regard to, oh, yeah, well, that really, you know, sucked when I did that. So that's been the pattern and that's been the result of that action. I guess I'll change that action. Have you found that? And in these last few minutes, what in finding that, because I know you have, you've evolved so much, Vinny. What could you share with our women listeners, our female listeners, that might help them in understanding men like you?
Well, like men like me. Men, I mean, you know, I'm a typical man. So, you know, I think the important thing is to try to understand that we are the same. We're very similar. Maybe the genders went too far, so we have extreme ideas of gender. But at the same time, bottom line is we're human. And women need to understand at this stage of development that men will not communicate like their girlfriends. Forget about
right.
it. That's not how we're built. We do communicate our love in our actions to help others, protect others, go to work, change our mask to put it on and off to deal with the crazy market. We get in our egos not always because it's so much fun, but because we need that to deal with the market and our job. And, you know, there's
right.
competition. It's the world to understand and to be imaginative in the way that they look at how we communicate, to learn how
right.
to translate us, if I could say it like that, in a different way than the way they usually do, that we do show love. We just may not show it like they do.